This is Tiger Woods, and welcome to another golf podcast presented by Bridgestone.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a special edition of another golf podcast presented by Bridgestone. It is Masters Week. We're all excited. We're coming right off of ANWI last week. I'd like to welcome back Amelia, who just participated in ANWI. Amelia, welcome back.
Thank you so much. After playing ANWI, man, I'm getting so excited for the Masters. It's going to be so fun, but gosh, ANWI was so special. They just do that tournament right. There's really nothing like it. I've gotten to play in majors on the LPGA, and ANWI just, they know how to do it. Everything is like tip-top shape. Obviously, the course is perfect. We know Augusta National, but
yes,
it was just such a special week. There's really no other words for it.
And another cut made at ANWI. That's pretty special to kind of get to play the weekend and get to play at Augusta National in a competitive standpoint. They do let everybody play a practice round. Am I correct in saying that everybody gets to play a practice round, correct?
Yeah, and it's funny because so top 30 and ties make the cut, and obviously everyone getting to play Augusta National is a huge, huge honor. But everyone in the field is obviously competitive, right. And so everyone wants to be in the top 30. So if you're playing the practice round but not playing on Saturday, you feel a little bit less excited as if you're actually competing for the tournament. Obviously, everyone, you know, was super honored and grateful for that, but it was so exciting. Jonathan was my caddy in the practice round last year, so he gave me the scope again, which was really fun. And my mom caddied for me in the tournament, and it was so great. That first tee shot, the fairway is so incredibly narrow, and I'm proud to say that I striped it in front of Condoleezza Rice and Annika Sorenstam and Chairman Ridley and all the other Augusta members and the rest of the crowd. So that was a big win, and I almost holed out on seven. So those were a couple of moments that were special.
Yeah, I mean, another cut made, pretty awesome, and your fifth ANWI appearance. That's got to be the record, right? Are you the record holder of appearances for ANWI?
I am. It was so funny. There was a stat earlier on in the week where it said I was the oldest player in the field. Oh, no. And I'm 24, so
24,
I definitely don't feel old by any means. So it was just such a funny. And then there was other stats like, oh, she's played in every single ANWI, the only person who's been able to do that. But it was just so funny. It's like, wow, I guess I'm going to be getting that stat now. You know, the oldest player in the world is 24, or in the field is 24, and the youngest player I think was 15 or something. So not a huge difference between us, but I guess I'm the grandma.
Well, let's make it 25 and 6 times next year. We'll talk about it every year this time of the year before we head to the Masters, and we'll just have a good time talking about ANWI every year until you don't play anymore.
That's the plan, until I broadcast it, which hopefully is a while from now.
yes, absolutely. Well, we are heading into Masters Week. You know, it's an exciting week, first major of the year for the men's, and kind of want to talk about a couple things for the guys' perspective. I do want to kind of go quickly over which golf ball that they'll be using this week. We've got Tiger, Jason Day, and Fred Couples in the field. Tiger Woods will be playing the Torby X. He recently switched over, had a new fitting. He used to be an XS player. He liked all the spin, but he found that the X was a little bit fits his game a little bit better. And then Fred Couples will be playing the RX, designed for swing speeds under 105. Fred found that the compression for the RX kind of matched up with him a little bit better. He liked that softer feel of the golf ball, flight it down a little bit with a little less spin on those little buttery cuts he hits. But he also loves the yellow version of the RX. He's been a yellow user for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, maybe a little bit longer. So he likes that yellow golf ball. And then lastly, Jason Day plays the Torby X, but Jason's been playing the Mindset version of the Torby X since the beginning of the season. And that's the Mindset ball. I mean, we could have a whole podcast about Mindset, and we have had one pretty much with him and Jason Goldsmith of talking about the benefits of Mindset. But Jason Day loves the ball, and it's been really fun seeing him play well with the Mindset golf ball.
And I played the XS Mindset ball at Anwa. I mean, I've been playing it, and but to play it in a competitive setting, and I made making the cut on the number, and that second day before the cut, there was so much wind. It was so hard out there. And so I can attest that when you're playing under pressure, to have something to just focus your eyes on and not think about, okay, I have to hit a good shot, otherwise it's over. It is so helpful.
Yeah, you had us under pressure here. We were watching your scores and watching your shots, and you were right there and pulled out some pretty clutch play at the end to make the cut. So we were just so excited for you to get through the weekend and to play and to keep going. And, you know, we appreciate you putting the mindset golf ball into play out there. And we're excited this week about the guys doing the same and Jason getting out there. Mindset, he's been playing some good golf in this first, you know, half of the year. And one cool stat that I wanted to mention that's kind of hanging out there is the consecutive cuts made record is 23, which is currently held by two players, one of those being Fred Couples and Tiger Woods. And Tiger Woods has a chance to break Fred's record and do 24 consecutive cuts in a row at Augusta, which, you know, they asked Fred about it at the press conference earlier this week, and he mentioned that, you know, that'll kind of take care of itself. Tiger is looking to play well, and he's really looking at the finish line rather than making the cut. So Fred feels pretty confident based on the way he hit the ball this past couple days in the practice round that Tiger's going to be, you know, taking hold of that record, and we'll be happy to see that too. 24 cuts in a row at the Masters is pretty solid.
And Adam, you were following him for a couple holes today. You said he was hitting the ball really well.
Yeah, he hit it awesome. Every shot was flush, that Tiger sound with those irons that he always makes. And, you know, Fred even mentioned that in his interview afterwards of how well Tiger hit the golf ball while he was out there in his practice round. And, you know, I saw him hit one just tight on 7, and it was a tough pin placement today. It was kind of, you know, we're used to 7 being that lower right hand corner to where you can kind of work it in there and kind of cut it into. We've seen Tiger hit those big high cuts to that bottom right pin, but this one was like top left, so he hit like a really high, you know, low spin draw that kind of stuck up there. And it was amazing just hearing a insanely loud Tiger roar on Tuesday out at the golf course, you know. So he kind of brings the heat, and he brings a lot to a Tuesday practice round, and you get roars from Tigers hitting these great shots on a Tuesday. So looking forward to him teeing it up here very soon, and I'm like you, I'm very excited to see what this first major, who kind of comes out of the gate. And, you know, there's always somebody who shoots a really good score at the beginning and is up there in the leaderboard, and then you have some of the veterans that are kind of right there behind them. It'll be interesting to see all the guys. Scotty Scheffler's playing pretty much flawless golf right now, so you got to think he's going to be right up there. And John Rahm, the defending champion, is playing some good golf as well, and it's going to be interesting to see what he does to defend his title. And, you know, Tiger, you know, it'll be interesting to see. He knows how to play that golf course better than anybody else out there.
And with a course like Augusta National, experience is really what sets you apart, even if you haven't competed a lot. We've seen that from players in the past. And I'd be curious this week if Tiger gets asked any questions about Scotty, because Scotty's really been the first person that people have started to compare, like, you know, he's the best ball striker since Tiger's era and things like that. So I'd be really curious. It'd be a great opportunity for people to ask Tiger about Scotty and just see kind of what he says. But speaking of Augusta National, the Augusta National Women's Amateur, and all things golf in Georgia, we're so excited to introduce our guest, Governor Brian Kemp, Governor of Georgia. We are so excited to get to talk with him. We were mentioning that we had to get through some security last podcast, that was why.
It was
so special to get to meet Governor Kemp, and obviously Bridgestone is based in Georgia, so it was really great to get to talk with him about, you know, Bridgestone's impact and just the golf in Georgia and what that has done for the economy, how he shaped and kept golf growing during COVID, navigating some very difficult times. So we're super excited for you all to listen to all this. So let's just jump right into it.
We're so excited for our next guest. We really have been really pumped. We're here at the Capitol today, here in Atlanta, Georgia, and we have Governor Brian Kemp. Welcome to another golf podcast.
Oh, great to be on with you guys. I'm excited about this opportunity.
Yes, sir.
It's just so great to meet you, Governor, and so excited to talk all things golf, Bridgestone, and everything else in between. With the Masters coming up, my first question, the Masters has just the best history, especially being in the state of Georgia, even more special. What is your first Masters memory?
Oh, man, probably eating a pimento cheese sandwich. You know, when I was a kid down there, one of my godparents was in charge of concessions years ago. He was CNS Bank and worked with my mom worked with my dad at the time. And anyway, everybody had kids same age. And so that's probably my first memory is going to the Masters and knowing he was in charge of concessions and going in there and getting one of those good sandwiches. So probably not as much golf related.
Well, yeah, I mean, as a kid, that's pretty much what's most important for you are the snacks. So
the concessions are amazing, yes.
It is incredible. You know, we're so excited about the Masters. That's a big week for us here in Georgia for a lot of different reasons because of the tournament. But we also do a tradition called our red carpet tour through the Department of Economic Development where we take a lot of people that we've done business deals with or companies that are here in Georgia like Bridgestone and other prospects that we have either from in Georgia, around the country, or literally around the world. And they come in, we do an event at the Governor's Mansion Wednesday night, go to the tournament Thursday. We'll fly them somewhere in the state on Friday where they get to see just the other business opportunities, cultural aspects of our state, kind of an opportunity to sell them on the state. So we've been to places like, you know, St. Simon's, been to Savannah, been to places in North Georgia, just Athens, anywhere you can imagine, and kind of showcase the state, let our local economic development folks have some FaceTime with them, and they do a dinner on Friday night, and then take them back to the course on Saturday. So these prospects are getting 2 days to walk the course and be at the Masters, and they're buying a lot of stuff in the pro shop. And it's a great opportunity for us to thank people, but also to sell them on coming to Georgia and really seeing that it's more than just our business environment and our workforce. You know, it's our people. It's the quality of life that we have in our state and just great traditions and like the Masters and great companies like Bridgestone.
Introducing Mindset, Bridgestone's new proprietary visual technology available on the 2024 Tour B Series. Bridgestone Golf and Jason Day developed the Mindset process to enable all golfers to separate analytical thoughts from athletic performance. Mindset is three simple steps. 1, identify the target. 2, visualize the shot path. And lastly, focus on the green dot. Jason used the principles of Mindset to reach number one in the world. Now Bridgestone is making this repeatable routine available to all golfers. Mindset, focus to perform.
Yeah, well, we've been here since 1990, and we've really enjoyed it. And one of the big episodes that we remember very well was the pandemic.
I remember that too.
It was pretty traumatic. And what was it like for you? Because, you know, for me, I was out there managing a relatively small company. You're managing the whole state, and you did it very, very well. You helped us get back into business pretty quick, and because of that, we were able to launch new golf balls and get out in front of our competition.
Well, listen, I'll tell you two things. I mean, number one, from a business perspective, as someone that's been a small business owner for almost 40 years now, both Marty and I both have, you know, I know what it's like to be sitting at home on Friday night, barely paying the people that work for you, not being able to pay your suppliers and you know, the angst and anguish that goes into that and how troubling that is and not having to do that just 1 week, but literally week after week. And I really felt like that's where our citizens were at the time. I mean, people were just saying, look, we can't continue to sit in our basement and lose everything we got. And I know how that feeling is. And I just didn't believe that that was the right thing to do for our citizens. And so we gave businesses the opportunity to open back up if they wanted to and work with them to be able to do that. And certainly it's just one of the best stories I tell is the Bridgestone story about you guys doing your part early in the pandemic to help stop the spread, flatten the curve, and build PPE supplies, hospital bed capacity, and other things, and being a good corporate citizen, but then also deciding that, you know, we need to open back up because our employees need to work, and our customers need our product, and y'all felt like you could safely do that, and you gained market share because you had other states around the country that – where your competitors were that weren't allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I hear those same kind of stories a lot, but I've I've told the Bridgestone story a lot because it's a great Georgia story, and it's a great story, really, I think, for the economic comeback that we've seen in our country. The other thing that's kind of a, more of a funny story now looking back is before everything started shutting down, everybody kind of knew what was coming. And all my friends from high school, all the folks I knew that I played golf with the, over the years, people that just happened to know me that were big golfers were all calling me going, "Hey, man, whatever you do, just, you know, we understand you got to do something, but whatever you do, just leave the golf course."
Yeah.
I love that.
They were like, "You know, you can close the 19th hole. You can close dining. Just leave the course open. Like, we cannot be stuck at home with the kids 24/7.
Nope. Got to bring them outside.
I'm like, I'm hanging up going, "Are you kidding me, man? I'm dealing with the global family losing their lives." And it was really a really tough time. But that's just where people were. And, you know, we kept golf courses open, and the game literally boomed. But I think it was good for other reasons, too. And Dr. Toomey and I, who was my public health director at the time and still is, you know, she understood this as well, because we kept our beaches open when and our state parks open, literally when every state in the country around us had theirs closed, and people were flooding to our state to play golf, to go to the beach, just because they needed an outlet. You know, they needed to get out of the house. They needed to get their kids out of the house. They needed that, you know, mental rescue of being outside and walking around. And it was, you know, it was good for their health. It was good for their mental health. And it's certainly good for their children's health and even older adults that needed to, you know, social interaction and other things. And so they were really, really tough decisions to make. But looking back, very glad we played it that way, if you will.
And so are we. We're very thankful for your leadership during that time.
Yes. Well, it took a lot of leadership for you guys to open back up. It wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy thing to do. There was, you know, I was getting criticized. A lot of businesses were getting criticized. But look, there was a lot of people that worked every single day during the pandemic that never stayed at home. You know, our first responders, our healthcare heroes, men and women in the military, people that were working in, right in this room where we were sitting literally 24/7 in this office responding to the pandemic.
Yeah, it was a tough time. And I remember the first time I got to meet you was you came out to Covington in November of 2020 to accept the Area Development Number One for Business State Award. And so I understand you got the, a few more of those since 2020.
Yeah, I can't remember which number that was, but we're up to 10 now. So we've been from Area Development, the number one state in the country for business for 10 years in a row, which is just incredible. It says a lot about our state, the General Assembly that we have that supports a great business friendly environment, hardworking people that we got, and that our state is just a place where people want to be. We've seen people continue to migrate here for good economic opportunity and other reasons. And we're so proud of our Georgia-made products like Bridgestone golf balls and other things that are made in our state. We promote them a lot. A lot of the gains that we've seen in the last 3 years where we've had record years for economic development, job growth, and investment coming out of the pandemic, you know, it's great manufacturers that are coming to our state, much like Bridgestone. And it's a very diverse economy, so it's given people opportunities no matter their zip code, which is something that I ran on.
We're so proud to be a business here in Georgia, and it means a lot for us to kind of be one of the good golf companies on the East Coast here in the United States and in Georgia.
And another exciting event that is coming up that I'll be participating in is the Augusta National Women's Amateur. And just getting to talk about it year in and year out with my friends who have competed and seeing these young girls who now have something to aspire to. I want to get to play in the Augusta National Women's Amateur, like the young boys who are trying to replicate Tiger and make the putt to win the Masters and things like that. When did you first hear word about the Augusta National Women's Amateur, and what does it mean for you and the state of Georgia to have the biggest women's event in amateur golf here?
Well, it's incredible. I hadn't had the opportunity to go to the women's amateur yet, but I hear such good things about it. And talking with the people like the former chairman, Billy Payne, a lot of other members I know at Augusta National, they are so proud of that. You know, they're such a good corporate partner, just like Bridgestone is, giving back to the local community. And Just the way they do things at Augusta National with the brand of the Masters and the tournament, and really, I think, help and sell golf to the world and to new markets in the world, like women golfers, you know, the youth golf movement, minorities in the golf movement has been incredible. And they do it in such a way that's so classy. And I mean, you just think about it, as a young person being able to play Augusta National the week before the Masters is just and I've had the opportunity to play Augusta one time. It was actually my last round of golf, and it may be my last round of golf.
That'd be a good one to end on.
It would be unbelievable to end it that way. But just even, I mean, as much as I've known about the Masters, as much as I've been on the course before, know so many people that are members, you know, having never played it, just being able to get to play it and kind of walk that walk that the players walk that you're watching on TV or in person at that tournament. It's really a lifelong dream, especially for golfers themselves. And I know it is for the women amateurs that are out there, just an incredible experience. And regardless of where their golf life takes them, when you go to Augusta, you meet so many incredible people in the business world, people that have literally done things for our country and people all over the world, you know, whether it's politician or CEOs or other professional golfers, people that are in the media. I mean, it's just an incredible experience. And when you talk to the leadership down there, they want the young people to experience that. Mm-hmm. They don't want them to just come play around the golf. They want to really, I think, you know, have them experience that whole opportunity. And so we're very proud of what they're doing at the National.
And you're so right with the people we've gotten to meet. I've gotten to meet Dr. Condoleezza Rice every single year and have seen her. I saw her at the Women's Open at Pebble last year, and it was really cool to have her recognize me and ask how I was doing. And I mean, I would never in my life get to meet someone so prominent in the world. So it's so true, the people that they really allow us to meet and the experiences we have, it's really unmatched.
Yeah, it is. It's just, I know when we played, there was a lot of the pro golfers that were there, which, you know, for somebody like me that doesn't play a lot of golf anymore, when you're teeing off on the first hole, I was just praying I could find my ball.
It's such a narrow tee shot. My gosh.
I wasn't worried about being in the fairway. I just wanted to be able to hit my second shot without having to drop, and thankfully I was able to do that.
What's your handicap?
Oh, I have a non-existent.
That's all right.
I haven't played enough rounds to even register. When I was playing, I was anywhere probably from a 12 to, you know, 18.
Okay. That's perfect.
I have a working governor's, working small business owner, father of three daughters.
Yeah, you have a lot. You have a lot of other responsibilities. I will say 14 to 18 handicap is the perfect person for a scramble, because then you make a couple bogeys and pars, and that's like birdies and pars. Yeah,
two doubles and then a birdie.
Exactly.
Help the team,
there you go.
You're off and running.
So for our next question, what we'll do is we'll just go hole by hole, how you play. I'm just kidding. So in 2019, Tiger won the Masters. It was a huge event for Bridgestone, you know, a big activation. We were so excited to watch him kind of go through that. Him winning with a product made right here in Georgia was especially a prideful moment for us. But as we go into this year, we have a couple of our guys playing. Who do you kind of like at the Masters? Who do you think is going to have a good opportunity?
Yeah.
Maybe with a Georgia-made product, but who do you kind of like during that win?
I'm pulling for anybody that's playing the Bridgestone.
Yes.
Golf.
Yes. Yeah, there we go.
The politically correct answer.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Scottie Scheffler has been incredibly hot, but he's also just been very solid and steady, which I think is good for going into the Masters. You know, I'm personally a fan of really most of the Georgia golfers that are on tour now. There are so many good players out there.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of think, you know, I'm not the expert on how the course sets up for Brian Harman, but I know he's played a lot of good golf at Augusta. And
he plays well at tough courses, too.
Yeah, and I think just he's got a really good short game and can putt. And so if he can just hit it, keep it in the fairway, and, you know, get hot at the right time, I think he could be one to watch, especially – having won the British Open, kind of getting that major off your, you know, the back of your shoulders to get that hump off your back, you know, I think will help him. And having been through, you know, what he did at the British Open, I guess led almost the whole tournament, right?
Yeah.
I might not imagine the pressure of trying to hold a lead when you got all these people, you know, sometimes it's easier to play from behind because you can just let loose and you really have nothing to lose when you're at that stage of his career. But I think having been through all of that is probably going to help him just play steady and try to hang around for the weekend, get a little bit hot and see what happens.
Yeah, good Georgia boy. He's got an experience out there, probably a kind of a home game for him. I know they get to play it a little bit when they're at UGA. So, yeah, he's definitely a good pick.
But, that, you know, the thing about the Masters, you just never know. I mean, you have so many people that just come out of the blue, and you're like, who is that?
Or you have, like, a longer who's right up there in the top five, you know, the guys with experience.
And then, you know, Freddie Couples, I think, is probably my age. He'll probably go shoot 68 the first day.
It's
really what makes the tournament so neat.
If he can hold up for four rounds.
Yeah, I don't know if he can hold up. Like me, I could barely hold up for the back nine when I play.
Well, we just want to thank you for giving us some time, kind of going over some of these questions. It's always such a pleasure to talk to you about the business aspect. And anytime we get to talk about the Masters, we enjoy those conversations. So thank you for your time and thank you for coming on today.
Well, thank you guys for having me. If we got just a minute, I'll plug Georgia Golf,
please,
too. I thought it was important for us to talk about, you know, it's not just the Masters here. We got the Tour Championship. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of great courses and clubs around the state. There's, you know, Ohoopee now, it's a private course. Most people don't even know about it, but it's bringing a lot of really influential people in our state to an incredible environment that's a good economic boost in a rural part of our state. There's another course like that being built in Taylor County right around Butler, Georgia. And so, like, for the golf economy in our state, it continues to grow, which is great for the game, which is hopefully great for Bridgestone Golf and you all's company. And then at Jekyll Island right now, which is it's the state's island. It's open to the people. It's a public park. We're spending about $20 million on the golf courses down there right now. Joe Lee is one of the designers. I'm told he's probably the best designer that nobody's ever heard of, you know, off the radar. But they're kind of redoing a course that's going to be like an ocean course down there. And the level of play is going to really get a lot better there, and it's a great place for groups to go. There's new hotels, new retail shops, and it's just a gorgeous island because most of it is just it's in its natural state. And so we're really excited about the game of golf here in the state of Georgia. I mean, it's bringing a lot of people to our state, and it's still a great corporate game, and it's important for us to continue to grow it so you guys can sell more golf balls.
Nice music. Exactly.
We're very thankful for that. Thankful for your leadership and helping us have a really good run on our business right now.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Well, what a special guest we had in Governor Kemp. He's such a nice guy. So nice of him and his team to kind of give us some of his time to just talk golf. Obviously, he has a lot of important things going on in his job, and so for him to kind of sit down and talk about the impact of golf in the state of Georgia, and especially kind of how in ANWA and the Masters impacts his view of the state of Georgia golf was really cool, and hearing him kind of discuss those things was really impactful about the way you kind of think about golf in Georgia. And you kind of forget sometimes all these great events that are in Georgia. We didn't even talk very much about the Tour Championship, which is in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So there's just so much great golf here in the state of Georgia. And it's nice seeing somebody kind of appreciate how that impacts people that live here in this area.
Exactly. I mean, the three biggest golf tournaments, you could say, for women, the Augusta National Men's Amateur, the Masters, and the Tour Championship, all in the state of Georgia is pretty incredible. And I've heard so many people actually say to me that Georgia has some of the best courses that you don't hear about, that are just like Georgia golf in general can just be underrated, in the sense of you hear Augusta National and Eastlake, but you don't hear about all the other golf courses that people don't know about, but they're just so, so good. Obviously, Adam, you living there, you can attest to that, but just so much incredible golf there. And it was just awesome to hear him talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's such great golf courses and golf to be played here in this area. We're pretty lucky. We're pretty close to the Cuscawilla there. We play Cuscawilla, Golf Club Cuscawilla, a lot here, the Bridgestone folks. And he discussed that Jekyll Island project that's going on, and we're working closely with that group, too, to kind of, you know, get ball fitting out there and get people to come visit the factory and enjoy our area as they come and experience this Georgia golf. So, you know, him talking about the impact of golf on the economy here in Georgia, that's very important for him, you know, obviously, to kind of hit those points. So it was good to hear him discuss how golf helps the economy here in Georgia and how, you know, even Bridgestone Golf. He talked about Bridgestone Golf and the business of us being here, and we're an East Coast company. You know, there's not a lot of golf brands that are kind of over here on the East Coast, and being here in Georgia, he truly appreciates us having our business here. And he's had a good relationship with Dan Murphy, our president and CEO, and you know, they're good friends, and they like to talk about kind of how the business helps in the state of Georgia, and he's just such a good golf advocate.
I thought it was so funny him sharing the story of when the pandemic hit, and obviously he's stressed, everyone's trying to navigate stuff, and then his phone is blowing up of people saying, hey, please don't close the golf course. He's like, I don't have time to worry about that. So I just loved it. And eventually, you know, keeping the golf courses open, I live in North Carolina, they did the same thing and really brought so much community during a time where, you know, a lot of people were isolated and maybe away from family and friends. So it was great that Georgia, North Carolina, where I'm from, able to do it in a safe environment to let people to, you know, continue to be outside and be active and play the sport they love. But well, we really hope that you guys enjoyed listening to Governor Kemp. I know we had a blast talking with him. It was such an honor. Happy Masters Week. Enjoy it. Let's see if Tiger can pull something out. Jason Day's playing really well. Already had 3 top 10s. And Fred Couples, Matt Kuchar, they all seem to show up, the Bridgestone players, on Masters Week. So we hope you guys enjoyed this podcast, and we'll see you next time on another golf podcast presented by Bridgestone. Another golf podcast is brought to you by Bridgestone Golf and the all-new Tour B Mindset. Mindset. Focus to perform. Another golf podcast is presented by Bridgestone's new line of Tour B golf balls with a reactive IQ cover. Reactive IQ is a smart cover technology that reacts to the force of impact. It rebounds quickly on tee shots, delivering explosive velocity and increased distance. And around the green, the Reactive IQ cover stays on the face longer, providing more spin and control. Bridgestone Golf is the pioneer and industry leader in ball fitting, and the 4 new models of Tour B are designed to ensure every golfer is playing the right ball for their game. The Tour BX and XS models are ideal for players with driver swing speeds over 105 miles per hour, and the RX and RXS were created for golfers with driver swing speeds under 105 miles per hour. To find the right ball for your game, go to BridgestoneGolf.com and click Find My Ball to go through the online ball selector guide. Bridgestone Golf, the number one ball fitter in golf.